Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. The earth was once ruled by Lucifer, who served as a regent before his rebellion against God. The first chapter of Genesis records the original creation and the earth's subsequent replenishment after the war in heaven. Passages in Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Revelation describe Lucifer's exalted position, fall through pride, and ultimate judgment, hence why the lake of fire exists. Humanity was created to demonstrate God's righteousness to the angelic realm, and when Adam sinned, spiritual death passed to all his descendants. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord. This is our first webcasting. We do actually streaming live now with our new equipment. And Pastor Charles is up here and fixed this one. I think he's itching to preach. So that's why he came up and fixed it a little bit here. So praise God for that. So this will be a little unusual, and we just pray that everything will hold today, and we will not have any more glitches. And I hope you enjoy the quality of the picture that we have on your screen. I want to, before I preach today, I want to address the situation with the drugs, Venezuela, when they took out Maduro and his wife. And there's a lot of spin on a lot of different things. But here's what I want you to understand. The drugs are coming in from Venezuela. They're coming in from a number of other, Colombia and a number of other countries. And so they're going to come in from just one country. So we have manufacturer, then we have people that are transporting them to our country, but inside our country we have distributor. They are organized. It's not that you have a guy working on the street here, the guy working over there, and they happen to get some drugs and selling them. They are employed. It's well organized. We're not talking about a couple of million dollars. We're talking about billions of dollars. And so right now, the way it works is that the criminals, they also support politicians. So they give it in such a way that they give maybe a donation of $10 million, $50 million, and then they have the politician knows that this money is coming from here and there. And when they need something, they call a politician and said, "We don't like what's going on. We want you to get active." And most of the Democrats are in the pocket of people that pay their money, and so are the Republicans. It's a money game in Washington, D.C. Same thing in each state. Politicians are in the pocket of people that want them to do what they want them to do. We've seen Kennedy. He was assassinated. His brother Robert Kennedy was assassinated. And we saw Ronald Reagan shot and he almost died, and we've seen an attempt upon Donald Trump. I want you to know that right now, there are people sitting in meetings and simply discussing, how do we take out Trump? How can we best do it? And when they get desperate, they bring in what I call the big guns. So the discussion right now in the back rooms is, how can we stop this president because he is hindering the drug traffic, and he is interrupting our money flow. I don't have any sympathy for Maduro and his wife. I have seen enough people come to this ministry that have been ravaged by drugs. For years, they have been taking the drugs. And drugs did not really were prevalent prior to World War II. But after World War II, the drugs begin to flow in here to this country. And the generations from about 1950 and 60s and 70, we have a lot of young people were destroyed and simply ended up useless, burned out because of drugs. Drugs will do worse damage than guns. And so we have not been invaded by soldiers, but we have been invaded by drugs. And so I commend President Trump for trying to do something about it. For years, they tried to have war on drugs, but it didn't work because all the politicians were in the pocket of the drug dealers or the distributors. So it just simply did not go anyplace. So I want to pray right now for President Trump and his team. My Heavenly Father, Maduro is only one cog in a vast network which has tens of thousands of people in different countries, well organized, and their activity is produce drugs, export drugs, import drugs, sell drugs, and kill our young people. And I pray for particularly protection right now, that those people that are in the board meetings right now and plotting on how to kill Donald Trump, that they will come to naught, that you will simply have that destroyed. The attempt shall be destroyed, and it shall not prosper. And I thank you, Father God, that many pastors this week, we pray for protection, Father God. Also for the members of the cabinet, Father God. For people that are working for ICE, drug enforcement, and other people, Father God, that are constantly on the battle line. And I praise you right now, Lord, that you heard my prayer today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. If you want to get ready, turn to the scripture of Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to start off with that in just a few moments. Well, praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church worldwide. And today we are using our brand new camera system and we are working out the bugs. And hopefully you'll be able to hear the webcast today and enjoy it. And I'm going to be preaching today the title we have here, The World That Was, because I want to lay a foundation today so that we can next week build upon that. And the way I want to go is the destiny of the human race. Let's pray right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now that you will anoint me today, that Father God, I will be able to present the message that will be of such an impact that people will be able to hear, understand, and absorb it. And I want to thank you, I want to praise you for that now. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to begin to talk to you about your mindset. We are earthlings, and we have a certain mindset. And because we have that mindset, we don't understand eternal things. So the mindset we have is simply this, that we know that we had Adam and Eve, we had the Satan came in and tempted them and so on. And then we have read in the Bible and history how things have progressed so on up to this very day. So here's what I want you to think about now. You and I are conditioned to this condition. Everything on earth develops. I was born 1939. When I was a child, we had one telephone. We had one radio. And that's all we had. There were no internet. There were no satellites. So we have seen a technology that keeps increasing. If we go further back, it started out when electricity was discovered. It has always been here in about 1600. And once we mastered electricity, then came all the other things that's been adding on. That's our mindset. Here's what I want to tell you now. God has shown me. In the spirit world, there is no development. Zero. When God created this creation, it was created with the highest technology, spiritually, physically, that exists. It cannot be improved upon. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit have always existed. Mathematical laws, physical laws, chemical laws have always existed. They were created, done, long time ago. There is no development in the spirit world. God has always existed. The technology he has always existed. All mathematical laws have always existed. There is nothing new in the spirit world. We are told in the Bible that this universe is going to be dissolved. And we're going to go to a new universe, a new heaven, and a new planet Earth, where we are going to develop the universe with the technology that always have existed. So if you understand that, there's nothing new. We are discovering glimpses that God allows us to understand with our computer system and so on now. But that's not new. I want to read to you now Hebrews chapter 1, the first three verses. God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Jesus is the Creator. God the Father has not created this universe. Jesus was assigned to be the Creator. Jesus is God. But he also work separately. Verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, I'm sure that you read that. I read that. But what it means is this. Jesus is having a power that you and I have never seen. It's a power so immense, is not in our dimension. And this power upholds all things. Every atom, everything is upheld by this power that is pulsating through the entire creation. We are used to automobiles where we have combustion engines. We used to airplane that we have jet engines. And we are used to electrical motors. These are the powers we have. There's a power that you and I have never seen. We will never see it now. But this is the power that is upholding all things. When Jesus turns off that power, the entire universe we are in right now, including heaven, will be dissolved. Not burned up. Dissolved. Everything will go back into energy, which you and I cannot see. But the energy that God used to do this universe with, it's upholded by a power that you and I cannot even understand. The fallen angels, Lucifer and the fallen angels, they have left spacecrafts from the time they had a war in heaven. We don't know how they operate. They are using a power that we cannot even begin to think. They fly up in the air. They go down under the ocean. They have cities and civilization under the oceans. They can come up, and we cannot match them. Our fighter planes cannot match them. Our rockets cannot match them. So I want you to begin now to stop thinking about the way that you are on earth. And I want you now to think spirit world. The spirit world is real. It's solid. And the technology they have there has always existed since Jesus did this creation. Why do I tell you this? Because you and I, as believers, are going to leave this earth. And we are going to move to the new creation after everything is done here. We're going to be having jobs up there. There's going to be developments. There are planets there. There's all kind of different things. And Jesus, God the Father and Holy Spirit, they want the humans this time to develop this. Which means that we need to have maturity. The maturity that you have now has been developed over the years. We have an adversary. And so when we work, we pray, we do things, our maturity develops. We're not children anymore. We can think, draw conclusions. Most Christians do not educate themselves, do not prepare for eternity. And the majority of Christians coming up into heaven are going to be in the lower echelon. It's better being in like a fire. But many Christians are going to look at the pastors and say, why did you not tell us about eternity? We could have had better jobs up here. We could have been doing so many things that would have been so satisfying. If you have a person that is skilled in playing the violin, you don't have that guy to dig ditches. You can have people that dig ditches that have no other skills. But if a person really knew how to play the violin and make beautiful music and write music, you wanted to stay time in music. So I want to challenge you. So this is what we're going to do right now. So I'm going to come back on this, but I want you now, don't be a turkey. Be an eagle. I want you to begin to see now. There is a world out there that is so fantastic, and I'm going to be part of that for eternity. So remember this. The technology we have on earth is stone age to what they have in the spirit world. We have a scaled down version of technology, and we think we are smart. We know so much. And God the Father looks down upon us and say, poor little guys, your brains are too small. You don't understand who I am and what I do. Let's move to the outline here now. It is a foregone conclusion that humans will live on earth for a season. After that, the death of the body. I want to say something here. I know I'm going to take time on this. Your body is a vehicle. When somebody touches your skin, you feel it on the skin. But it's in your soul brain that is registered. Our soul brain and our soul body is a real you. The physical brain you have up here, you do not think with a physical brain. It's a computer that runs the physical body. The soul brain works through this computer. I have to talk to you today with my loudspeaker, my mouth. You have to listen to me through your ears, and I'm communicating from my soul to your soul. Most people have not really thought that through. When your body dies, your physical brain goes in the grave. If your memories, your feelings, your characteristics was in the physical brain, you would cease to exist. But because we have a spiritual body called a soul, everything is in a soul. And when the body dies, you take all the memories with you. You take every skill with you are located in the soul brain. The soul is eternal and will live on forever, either in heaven or in a lake of fire. Thus, it is important to secure a life insurance, which is called salvation, in order to end up in heaven, not in the lake of fire. If we do not know how life will be in heaven, we have to look back in time to see how life has been prior to Adam and Eve. The Godhead has always existed, and all technology in heaven has always existed. As I stated in my monologue when I started out, there is no development in heaven. They cannot go any higher. They are at the top. God has created everything, and there would not be any improvement. When we get to the other side, we're going to have a learning curve. We're going to learn all this new technology and how life is there. But we today cannot understand. In the next life, we're going to communicate thought-wise. I think, You hear it, and you communicate. You might say, well, that's heresy. Well, let me ask you this. You can pray two ways. You can pray loud, or you can pray silently. Many of us pray silently. And when we think our prayers, they are picked up by heavenly equipment, spiritual equipment, transferred to heaven, and God can listen to 200 million people at one time. You and I can only communicate to one another. You cannot have a conversation with 10 people. It will be babble. Think about that. Each one of us, millions of us, when we pray, we think, is transported into heaven, to the throne room, and God is able to hear every one of us and answer each one of us. He doesn't give us a group answer. He answers you individually. In the Bible, we have glimpses of life when God, and by looking at the past, we can learn what the future will hold. In this first message, we're going to look at the past in order to know what the future will be for Christians. Jesus told us to prepare for heaven, and this is what this series is all about. In Hebrews 13:8, we read this. Remember, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, you and I are here in the chapel today, and there are people watching us today. And we are in different stages. Some of you are children. Some of you are in your 20s. Some of you are in your 50s. Some of you are in your 70s. I'm in the 80s. But you know what? My body might have 86 years on it. But my soul has never aged. I never had a baby soul. It was an adult soul. If you think with your soul brain, you flow in the Holy Spirit, you simply can maintain your physical body for many years. 120. Most people are, again, earthlings. Well, I'm 40 years old now. Okay, women says, well, I'm 50, you know, I got the menopause, you know, I'm toast now, I'm can I have more children. And then we get 65 and people say, okay, now I'm going to retire, you know, so life is pretty much over, and so on. It's a mindset. Your soul never ages. You're going to live for billions of years, zillions of years. You're going to live forever. You're never going to die. You're never going to age. You're going to be young, young, young through eternity. Now, if you can get that concept down on earth and start thinking about that my soul brain is not getting wacko, and I can do a lot of things. You stop eating junk food and eating food that is God said don't eat. Your body can last a long time. It's a matter of thoughts. How many of you have not seen old cars from the 1920s or 1930s or 1940s, and people are having them and they maintain them and they show them once a year or so, drive around a little bit when the sun shines. And these cars look so nice. But the majority of those cars that were made at the same time, they've been junked a long time ago. Maintenance is everything for us. And Satan says, well, you're not going to have maintenance. I'm going to give you garbage food. I'm going to have you having drugs. I'm going to give you alcohol. I'm going to give you all kind of things. I want to destroy your body. I want you out of the planet. If you can understand that, when I have cars that I've had for years, I don't let anyone bang them up. I didn't put diesel in a car with gasoline. You take care of your dishwasher. You take care of furniture in your home because it costs money. But we don't think about the physical body. You have to have this to be on earth. Your soul is intact. So you need to think about how to maintain your physical body. Before the foundation of the universe, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit have all existed. They have no beginning or end. Our physical universe has an origin. It has not always existed. And the Bible says it will come to a fiery end. This is what we read here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 to 13. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works of ruin shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. I want you to think this now. This is a revelation of the Apostle Peter got 2,000 years ago. He didn't know anything about atoms, nuclear powers. He didn't know about electricity. He didn't know anything. And look at the description he has here. Dissolved, that means that the atoms will go back to energy. He talks here about the hasting of the coming of the Lord of the day. The heavens being on fire. We are atoms, molecules. They're held together by energy. What energy? Jesus' power, a power that you and I don't even know exist. Just accept it. There is a power that is so vast that Jesus can sit in heaven and out the entire universe and uphold all things. And the elements, the word for elements here, but today we call them atoms. And the atoms shall melt with fervent heat for new heavens and a new earth. So when we think that we are so smart, we calculate quantum calculation, we know physics, we know this or that, we are stone age compared to the spirit world. Now, I started preaching a series called The Origin of Jesus in 2020. The Holy Spirit gave me a vision that the God had designed the creation of a great giant computer system before the foundation of the world, which made it possible to design angels, human beings, and the physical universe. In this way, they performed a virtual time run, which allowed them to see exactly how angels and humans would behave in this virtual time run. If you haven't seen that series, I would go and look it up, and at least the first two verses. I mean, messages. Now, the Bible says that Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world. Think about that. Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world? How's that possible? If there was indeed a virtual time run, the decision for Jesus to be killed on the cross occurred in eternity because of the foresight gained through the virtual time run. In Revelation 13:8b, we read this, "The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." Let this sink in now. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit designed everything in some kind of a computer system that we cannot even understand. And they designed angels, souls, and they simply, in the system, let them develop. We had a free will. And they saw everything that was going to happen, from the rebellion of Lucifer to what we've done on earth and so on. They realized that eventually the human race need to be rescued. There is no salvation for angels. Once an angel sinned, he was done. But for humans, they decided that Jesus, the Son, would be slain on a cross and pay for the sins of the human race. When Jesus came down and walked on earth, he knew that. He knew exactly if I had 3.5 years to establish his church. And if you remember reading in the gospel, it says that he said, "I have looked forward to have this last Passover meal with you." He looked forward to die for you and me because it had been designed. They had seen it before the foundation of the world. The knowledge of life on earth did not begin with Adam and Eve. It's seldom taught, even through the prophets Isaiah and Ezekiel clearly wrote about it, which I'm going to introduce later on in the outline. Not having a full understanding of the time before Adam and Eve blocks Christians from understanding why humanity was created and the future God has ordained for mankind. We do know this. We have a few verses here and there. In Job 38, 4 through 7, we know this. "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare, if you have understanding, who has laid the measures thereof, if you know, who has stretched a line upon it, whereupon are the foundation fastened, who had laid a cornerstone thereof, when the morning stars sank together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." The angels were created before the universe. Now, when was the last time you heard a pastor preach on that? We're not taught this in seminary. We are simply taught to be turkeys. Yeah. We know nothing about the spirit world. So we come out of these seminaries, Bible schools and colleges, and we know absolutely nothing. It would be like you take a plumber and you simply say to that plumber, "We're going to hire you here. We need a brain surgeon at this hospital here, and we don't have a brain surgeon right now, so we're going to make it a brain surgeon." And the guy said, "Well, I'm a plumber." "Well, that's not a big problem. You know, just try to do what you can." "Well, I don't want someone to arrange my brain that is a plumber. I want a brain surgeon." Hosea said, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." We are dumbed down and held down because Satan doesn't want us to be educated. He cannot steal our salvation, but he can steal your future. Let me repeat that. Satan cannot take your salvation away from you, but he can take your future in eternity away. And to do that, he says, here, baby, have some drug, have some cocaine, have some this and that. has her sex. Have you seen his pornography? Hey, this Mrs. Life here, get some more alcohol. And people are dumb. These angels populated the cosmos, developed civilizations on different planets. Earth was one of those planets which Lucifer served as its regent. There were different people groups with developed cities and nations and engaged in commerce. So we can see back, the Bible tells us this took place. Okay. If that's in the past, most likely that's going to be something in the future. The angelic civilization are far more technically advanced than the human race. The Bible does not provide a time frame for the creation of angels and the universe. It could be billions of years. When they came out with Darwin and they said that the earth is billions of years old, it's true. The creation has simply got lost in the jungle. There was a world before Adam and Eve. Now, Adam and Eve go back about 7,000 years. But the world has been around a long time. There were different people groups which developed cities, nations, and engaged in commerce. Theologians have missed the fact that Genesis chapter 1 is not simply just a story of creation. The first verse is a story of creation. The second verse is the account of a devastating space war, and the rest of the chapter is description of the refurbishing of the earth and creation of mankind. The days of creation are not normal 24-hour days, as many suppose. Each day represents a 1,000-year period. We know this is true because the conversation tool was conversion tool was given to the Apostle Peter. 2 Peter 3:8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. I've read that over the years, and I did say, right over my head. The Apostle Peter did not know this before Jesus was crucified. He did not know this necessarily on the day of Pentecost. But as Peter started walking with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit simply gave him a revelation and said, Peter, understand this. A day for you is 1,000 years for God. So how long is an hour? Divide 1,000 by 24. And you get 41.6 years. See, the book of Revelation, we are told the Antichrist is going to rule 1 hour. We read that. Understand it. German theologians, back in the 1800s, they did a construction, and it took Daniel's 70th week and say, okay, this is 7 years, and so the Antichrist is going to rule for 7 years. Well, Jesus said for 1 hour, 41.6 years. A lot of people are going to be surprised. Those that come into the time of the Antichrist, and they realize there's not a 7 year period. We talk about more than 40 years. And they're going to look at their pastors and say, but you idiots. Why didn't you tell us this? Well, we were not taught that in the seminaries. We were taught 7 years. Daniel's 70th week is a construction. So when we read the Bible, read it, look at it, and say, what does it mean? Let's talk about Cain and Abel right now. Scripture does not explicitly state that Cain and Abel were the first children born to Adam and Eve. So when you read that, it doesn't say, and Eve had her first children, Abel and Cain. It doesn't say that. It says that she had those two boys. This raises important questions. After Cain murdered his brother, why did he fear retaliation? If there was only Adam and Eve, and Abel and Cain, four people, why in the world did Cain walk around to God and say, well, they're going to come and kill me? Well, that is not explained by anyone. Was he concerned only about the response of his parents? Or did he fear others? Furthermore, when Cain departed to the land of Nod, there was a city there. Who built that? Whom did he marry? He married a woman from Nod. Where did she come from? If Abel and Cain were the first children, where did the son of he find a wife? And what was the origin of the people only living in Nod? Let's go to Genesis here and look at these points here. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. It came to pass that when they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries unto me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto you strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall you be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is great and I can bear. Behold, you have driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from your face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that finds me shall slay me. Who's he talking about? It's only two people. He's talking about now, wherever I go, people are going to see me and they're going to slay me. That is never explained in the seminary. They never explain that to you. They simply says, well, we don't know about that, so let's just move on. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whosoever slays Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should be killed. Can you have a more clear text? The Lord said to him, whosoever slain Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. That means there were other people. And Cain went out for the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. He knew his wife. She conceived and bare Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. Now, how do you build a city? Well, you can be alone and start building houses and no one in them. There were people there. This means that where did these people come from? But let's look at the next one. The truth of the matter is that Adam was created on the sixth day of the refurbishment. Sometimes later, Eve was cloned from one of Adam's ribs. They existed on what remained on the sixth day. Up to about 1980, no theologians understood what the Bible says that Jesus took a rib from Adam. Matter of fact, it says that you put him in a deep sleep. That's what you do when you do surgery. You put people out. He took a rib out. Another rib, he made a woman. Today we call that cloning. We know how to clone today. So today, when you read that, they say, okay, that's not a big deal. That can be done. We clone dogs, cats. Look at the scripture here now. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, that they have dominion of the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Flip my page here. So God created man in his own image. God is triune. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We are triune. Angels are dual. They have a spirit body and they have a spirit. Animals are dual. They got a body, they got a soul. They got an animal soul. But they're not created in the image of God. Male and female created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion of the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. That's Genesis 1, 23 to 28. And Adam gave names of all to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast on the field. But for Adam there was not found any helpmeet for him. How in the world did Adam know the names? This is a cat. This is a horse. This is a fish. This is a bird. How did Adam know that? Jesus gave him supernatural knowledge. So he understood what each animal was. And he gave them names. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep. When you have surgery, you are in a deep sleep. For Adam, he slept. He took one of his ribs, surgery, cut it out, closed up the flesh instead of off. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made a woman and brought her unto the man. That's cloning. That's why the DNA is. Basic DNA is the same in men and women, because we come from the same source. And Adam said, this is not bone of my bones, of flesh of my flesh. How did he know that? If he was knocked out and had surgery, how did he know that? Well, Jesus brought him to him, said, here is this woman. I made her from your rib. Adam said, she looks pretty good. I think I'd keep her. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. There shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So we find in here now a lot of information. Knowing what we know now about technology, we can look back and say, well, this took place, this took place. Now, the seventh day. And Jesus created Adam and Eve. He declared that the finished work of creating humanity was very good. In Genesis 1:31, we read this. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. I want you to catch this now. If God said, this is good, he means it. We should not go around and criticize things and say, well, God didn't do that right this way. It was very good, but Satan has corrupted it. God and Son rested the seventh day, not because he needed to, but to set an example for mankind. The Sabbath day was 1,000 years. Now, let me put this on you here. You can think about this. Let your eyes roll around a little bit in your eye. The refurbishing took 6 days, 6,000 years. Then Jesus took a day off, 1,000 years. So we have 6 days, 6,000 years. Now we have 1,000 years. And then when Adam and Eve started to live in the garden, we are now 6 days away about from the creation of Adam and Eve. What have we got coming up? But the Bible says we're going to have a 1,000-year kingdom. So I started thinking, that means 7 days, 7 days, that makes sense. So we got two sets of 7 days. Now we are in the other 7 days. And we got a day, 1,000 years, kingdom coming up. If Adam and Eve procreated once a year over a 1,500-year period, imagine the children of pairing up in couples, beginning to procreate at the age of 25, and each couple had one child a year. A conservative estimate would place about 60 generations born during the time period. There were easily hundreds of millions of people living outside the Garden of Eden. So Adam and Eve did not wait to have sex until after Satan had come. They started right after they were created. Eve had no problem giving birth to a child. It was painless. There was no sickness. Nobody died. A perfect environment. And mankind exploded in numbers. Lucifer did not arrive to tempt Eve until the seventh day was over. The Apostle Paul stated that all the offspring of Adam and Eve died spiritually when the first couple sinned. Catch this now. In Romans, we read this. Wherefore, as by one man sinned, entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Think about that now. Well, all the offspring of Adam and Eve, when Adam and Eve sinned, sin was put on the entire population. The spirits of Adam and Eve died when they sinned. And the people living in the world at that time, their spirits died. And they were made sin. They did not sin, but they were made sin. When was the last time you heard a pastor preach on that and explain that to you? Adam's transgression was a figure of him that was to come. Romans 5, 12 through 14. I'm going to close here for today. We're going to pick it up next week. We're not in a hurry. I'm going to do this serious, nice. So what do I want you to take with you today? I want you to stop being an ant that crawls around. I want you to look up and say, wow, the technology in heaven has always existed. They don't develop in heaven. We develop here because we discover things. Heaven is already perfect, developed. It doesn't develop anymore. That means that when we come into the new creation, God is not going to develop things anymore. They already developed. We're going to come in a spirit world with such a development, high technology, spiritually, physically. It cannot be improved. And when we get to heaven, we are not going to grow spiritually anymore. And I will talk about that next week. But spiritual growth is done here.
That's right.
Because in heaven, there's no devil. There are no demons. There's no resistance. When you exercise, you use weights, ropes, because muscles will only grow if they are resisted. When we send our astronauts up and they're up in space for a year, they cannot walk when they come back on Earth because their muscles have just shrunk. They have to lift them up and put them in wheelchairs. So a muscle only grows when you exercise it or when you work. If you lay in bed for 3 weeks and do nothing, try to get up and see how strong you are. Your muscles are shot because there's no resistance. Resistance means growth. When we're resisting the devil, spiritually we grow. So what we want to do now is, I want to grow and be more and more mature. I don't want to come in heaven and be like a kindergarten kid and say, this is nice. And God's going to look down and say, I guess you're going to run this little nursery over here. That you're capable of doing that. So I want you to begin to start thinking now. You are here. Your souls and spiritually forever. This is where you're going to learn. So let me leave you this last thought. You were not necessarily made for this earth. It's a byproduct. But you were made for eternity. And we think lifetime on earth. And we haven't understood the vast spirit world that we are going to, that has already everything in it, and we're going to work there and have positions.
That's right,
position. We don't even think about that. Because all we can think about, hang on till I'm 65, I can get Social Security. And then when you get 65, you hang on until I can go to a nursing home. And then when you're in a nursing home, you just hang on there, you know, till you take your last breath. And when your body drops, the angels pick you up. And you say, now what? Well, we're going to take you to heaven. You're going to go to the judgment seat of Christ. It's going to be determined your positions in eternity. And you're going to say, most of you will say, what? I never heard that. Well, it doesn't matter what you heard. This is the way it is. So, we save the rest of this sermon for next week, because I rather want to educate you really good than to rush through. And I pray to God that I blew your brains out today, that you begin to expand and say, wow, you mean heaven technology cannot be improved upon? It's been like this. Everything is already made. Yes. And you and I are going to jump into that world. We are Stone Age now. And you're going to move up to the most advanced technology that exists. And that's our future. Now, some of you that watch me today, you're not saved. And you said, well, I never heard anything like this before, you know. I thought that Christianity was just, you know, a pie in the sky. No, it's not a pie in the sky. It's a universe. It's a brand new universe in the sky. So how do you get saved? It's simple. All you need to do is to proclaim, I am a sinner. And no one had to tell you that. You know you're a sinner. And say to God, I want to repent. I'm sorry, God. I believe that Jesus, your son, he died on the cross, rose on the third day, and through his death and resurrection, I can be born again. Jesus, come into my life and save me. I want to be saved. And Jesus is going to say, I'd be more than glad to. Tell God I repent. And Jesus will come in and you'll be born again. Let me finish here. Three crosses are going to come up on your screen. And you're going to hear Pastor Charles say, my friend, he's going to take 10 minutes with you and make sure that you know what salvation is, how to pray and how to get in. And when he's done with you, you will be born again. Contact us. We'd like to rejoice with you. I'd like to pray with you. Contact us so we can rejoice with you. And to those of you that are Christians, I want you to take this outline. A lot of stuff I did not have on the outline. Because when I woke up this morning, I wrote this a few days ago. When I woke up this morning, the Holy Spirit just downloaded. He came in like this to me. I just saw it. I said, wow. Wow. So I just told you verbally. But read the rest of the outline. And then start thinking, I'm not getting old. Right. Your body might be getting old, but you don't have to, you're not getting old. I can do things when I'm 70? Yes. God can refurbish your body. There are very few people my age that do not, they're not on medication. I am not on one medication. I feel great. But I maintain my body. I think differently. And I'm going to last for a while. Because I got to teach you guys what's up in heaven before I take my flight. So study it. Get ready for next week. And praise God. God is good. God bless you.
Amen. Now we have the opportunity to kick ourselves into overdrive to serve the Lord. So thank you for your message that you give us, God. We receive it. We ask you, Lord God, to put it into us that it helps us to change our lives from now until we depart this world. And we look to you each and every day for what you have for us, Lord God. Yes. Try to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Only through God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus are we able to do this. I'm going to take away from this today that it's going to change my life, change my thinking, and change how I direct my life for the rest of my life. I thank you, Lord God, for your wisdom, your understanding, and your knowledge that you put in your word. It's all there for us to receive. And I thank you for that. I give you the praise and honor and glory for this day and for every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, What is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1, have you ever told a lie? 2, have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3, have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7-8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past. and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell This message was the first part in the series, The Destiny of the Human Race, and was entitled, The World That Was. Why does humanity exist? The answer is found in eternity past with the creation of the angels. The earth was once ruled by Lucifer, who served as a regent before his rebellion against God. The first chapter of Genesis records the original creation and the earth's subsequent replenishment after the war in heaven. Passages in Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Revelation describe Lucifer's exalted position, his fall through pride, and ultimate judgment. Although the Bible does not describe a formal trial, Jesus revealed that the lake of fire was specifically prepared for the devil and the fallen angels that joined his failed insurrection. Humanity was created to demonstrate God's righteousness to the angelic realm, and when Adam sinned, spiritual death passed to all his descendants. This is why the Bible describes Jesus as the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The Godhead knew what was going to happen before it did. If you want to order a copy of this message, just reference RLJ2048. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.